Et maintenant, le Star Wars Universe Show!
You should all consider yourselves to be in my power.
Bonjour à tous et bienvenue dans ce nouveau Star Wars Universe Show. Il y a bien longtemps, 5 mois, dans une galaxie lointaine, très lointaine, AQC dans l'Allier, se tenait la convention Génération Star Wars et Science-Fiction, organisée par les héritiers de la Force. A cette occasion, nous avons eu la chance d'interviewer Doug Whitley, le dessinateur de la série de comics Dark Times. Je passe donc la parole à Sébastien, qui a mené l'interview.
So thank you, Doug, for having us for this interview for Star Wars Universe French website.
It's my pleasure.
I would like to ask you a few questions about Dark Times, the famous series you're working on. Another Dark Times arc was just officially announced, and have you already planned the whole plot with Meg Harrison, or is the end already written?
We have the whole plot for the next two arcs completely worked out. It's going to get like very explosive. Not that it, you know, there wasn't some action and adventure in the previous arcs. There was a lot of character building, you know, because we're choosing to tell stories about people surrounding the core events rather than focus on Vader himself all the time or the Sith all the time, or tell the story about the people that have to deal with the outcome of the Empire. As it's being formed and as it's infecting the rest of the universe. And so, yeah, the next two arcs are, we're already...
Already written. So you're very excited to work on.
Yeah. There's some really cool characters, some new characters coming in this arc right now that, you know, both of us, you know, when we first started coming up with the ideas for this arc, we were going to kill this new character off in this arc. And then... we decided not to, and now, as we're into the second issue, the first issue is already complete, and so now into the second issue, we're loving this character so much that we're actually glad we didn't kill him. Like we're like, it's good that we didn't, because he's really turning out to be something special.
And my second question is, now Dark Times takes place between the prequel and the trilogy. Mm-hmm. Do you intentionally try to create an aesthetic shift in vehicles and weapons, etc., as the series moves onwards the trilogy?
Yeah, I'm spending a lot of time really doing my best in paying attention to the differences in the visual languages, you know. As I understand it, I could be wrong, but as I understand it, the prequels are, it's about a fresh universe, new and thriving. And when you get to A New Hope, everything's beaten up. Almost everything was created in the time of the prequels, or even a little bit earlier in some cases. You know, so it's all rusting and falling apart and so forth. So part of what, you know, what I consciously try to do is make sure that as we move forward in the designs, like for instance the design of H2, kind of like a floating R2 unit, you know, trying to incorporate a lot of the floating aspect of droids that we see in the prequels more so than in the, and also bringing that R2 unit into play. That was the thinking behind H2. Also, you know, having the multiple eyes, I was also thinking about the morning probe droid. Yeah, so I was thinking of that. Like, obviously, my first intention was to make it all black, kind of the same way and so forth. But then I thought, no, I mean, that's just, you know, in a similar way. And I thought, no, it's got to be, he's got to be, you know, he's going to be a good droid, more or less. You know, so, but at the same time, I wanted to kind of say, okay, I want to capture some of that multiple circle design around the, you know, and have that flat kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right? I'm slowly turning to...
kind of indicating that, you know, that design would eventually evolve or inspire, and or, you know, that kind of thinking was present but not complete.
Yes, and now we're talking about Blue Harvest. The scenario of Blue Harvest is kind of a remake of the movie Yojimbo.
Mm-hmm.
And did you make the decision together with Meg Harrison? Or?
Well, it was funny because this is how it kind of went. We both love Kurosawa. And being that the original Star Wars has some roots in the Kurosawa film.
Yeah, from Spider Castle. Or, I don't know. It's it's the movie where there's a group of guys. Who
the two peasants.
Yeah.
Very much like R2-D2 and C-3PO in terms of relationship. One being thinking he's superior. One. And there's the dynamic of rescuing the princess.
That's the one.
And the unlikely heroes is the kind of idea there. And so, knowing that George was a fan of Kurosawa's thinking and storytelling and so forth, it seemed natural to adapt something like Yojimbo into a story, because if you think about it, I mean, it's a samurai without a home, a Jedi without a home. It just fit. But what happened when we first started really looking at that was that we realized that trying to adapt Yojimbo was the wrong way to go. What we needed to do was we needed to go to the Red Harvest, the original Dashiell Hammett novel that inspired Yojimbo. Because Yojimbo is such a solid story, it's kind of, you know, it would be too easy to fall into just a remake of the film.
Yeah, set in the Star Wars universe.
Right, so... So we really started to pay attention to the actual novel. And, you know, still, Yojimbo's on our mind, but we found that we were hitting all kinds of plot problems actually just focusing on just that one aspect of the original Red Harvest novel.
Yeah, good work still, because it's a tremendous arc.
It was incredible to draw. And also, you know, working with Mick and seeing the plot unfold, it was really like, wow, this is...
Yeah, generally speaking, how do you collaborate with Mick on those stories?
Well, he's been really gracious. Like, he'll get a hold of me in the early plot formations. And, you know, in some cases he'll say, like, you know, do you have any ideas and so forth. And in some cases I'll come to him and I'll say, you know, this last arc inspired a certain character that I thought would be kind of cool. What do you think? And I'll present it to him. And a lot of times it's like, I don't know if I can do anything, but every once in a while it's like, yeah, I like that too. And so, you know, usually when we're working on one arc, we're talking a lot about the next arc and the arc after that and so forth. And so there's collaboration. But what's interesting about this is it's also an extremely great learning experience for me, because we have these collaborations. We come up with these kind of interesting plot ideas. And he'll go, okay, I think I got enough, you know, in terms of feedback on some of his ideas and that sort of thing. And then he'll go away and he'll come back with almost the rough draft of the finished script. And it, on the surface, resembles nothing like what we talked about, in the sense that it has totally evolved into something that's extraordinary and unexpected. And it's like, oh, wow. And, you know, I really enjoy working with him.
I can see that.
Yeah, it's a great experience.
Very rewarding. Mm-hmm. And now we're moving on the amazing one-shot Purge that has become a reference for the fandom, showing how Darth Vader had helped the Empire hand down and destroy the Jedi Knight. And other issues that have been published since then. Do you plan to give another chapter to this Purge saga?
I really would like to, because I was in a really kind of frustrating moment and I couldn't give Purge the attention I really wanted to. I did it in a kind of a different style and an open line style, and that requires certain disciplines, and quite honestly I was unhappy with the way that issue turned out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I really would have liked to have given Purge and also working with John Ostrander, like, it was the only time I've ever been able to work with him, and I was under such constraints in terms of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, I actually called him up and apologized, because I'm sorry, man, I couldn't spend enough time on Purge. No, that's how I feel. It's, you know, and he didn't even return. He actually left a message. He didn't return my call.
Really? No. Oh, shame.
Because we talk, but he didn't even want to address my apology. So, so if I ever got a chance to work with John again, or you know, I would like a chance to work with John again on another Purge installment. I think that would be really fantastic.
We have to pressure him.
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, all right. Sure.
Yeah, you get in touch with him. You say, because
the next chapter right now.
Like a one shot. I'll call up Stefan. We'll have lunch.
Yes.
I'll pour something in his drink, and that'll be done. It'll be okay.
Story.
Be like, geez, sorry to hear about that French artist, that fantastic French artist. It's, too bad. Hey, how about that Purge book that?
So, besides the next chapter of Pergium, do you have any other projects involving Star Wars in the near future?
Any other projects other than Dark Times?
Yeah.
No. Dark Times actually takes quite a bit of time. And, I've been, I guess the one possibility, I was working on the live action TV series as a concept artist. And that's been put on hold for various reasons, as you know. So, I mean, I guess there's a possibility if they, whatever complications they need to overcome, if indeed there are complications or whatever the case, if they return to doing that, I'll probably go back to working on that. Other than the comics, I would think.
Okay. And so if you had the choice and without any restraint, what would you like to draw in the Star Wars galaxy? What kind of story? What kind of characters?
Well, we're doing that now. As a fan, I want to draw Darth Vader destroying everything. Because, Darth Vader's...
Who wouldn't?
That was the big impact. I mean, people, when I was young, they used to come up to me and say, "You like Johnny Cash?" Because I just dressed in black, And I was like, no, it's Darth Vader. Because, he just totally impacted my life as a child because of his presence and so forth. It wasn't that I thought he was, a great guy. It was just that he was so bad, And, I just think, if I got my way as a fan, I would probably focus entirely on Darth Vader destroying everything that he comes near, which is the wrong thing to do. Because if you take a look at the way the movies are structured and so forth, actually, Darth Vader's not the central... He is the central pivot of the story, but he's not the focus. It comes back to his story. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's so charismatic.
It's weird in the way that how it shows how everything around his decisions... Like, people are breaking up against him until Luke. You know what I'm saying? And also Obi-Wan. I mean, Obi-Wan never... He didn't break on purpose. You know what I mean? He sacrificed himself for the greater good. In that sense, he had a plan. But, it just... It's very much a story about how it affected everything. And then it comes back to him.
Yeah.
You're not following... the camera's not behind Darth Vader... And you're meeting everybody through him. He's the one that comes out of the shadow and suddenly something's revealed about why everything's so bad.
Yeah.
If I had my way, I think, it would end up being a bad Star Wars book because all you'd just be like, Vader, 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 Vader. There would be no contrast. There would be no character development. It'd just be like, oh, you're bad, you're bad.
But it would be so...
It would be fun to draw.
Fun to draw, yeah.
Yeah, visually it would be pleasing. There's a lot of Jedi that I'm not big fan of.
Maybe you would draw him killing Jar Jar or something.
Jar Jar, yeah, no, I've, no. I wanted to do a print of that, but I wasn't going to get permission, I tried to come up with a story because I thought, that would be one of the greatest services to Star Wars while I was working on Star Wars would be to be able to get a story that would allow us to kill Jar Jar, So I came up with a couple of scenarios, and I sent them to Randy, and Randy's like, "Doug, they're never gonna let us kill Jar Jar." And then I'd send him another idea, and he'd be like, "Doug, just stop. I'm not even showing these to Lucasfilm."
You're
and I'm like,
"Fine, stop."
And I'm like, "Well, what if? Come on, there's got to be a way we can kill him. He's got to
have a disease or something.
Let's make it tragic and beautiful, and let's make it so that people say, "Ah."
Well, that's tough.
They look back and they think maybe he wasn't such a bad guy.
But you're actually talking about Purge. It's like Darth Vader killing Jedi. That's exactly Purge.
Well, yeah, but in the hands of somebody like John Ostrander. I haven't actually read the Hayden Blackman, so I can't, but he still managed to do exactly what makes Darth Vader such a great character, and that is to focus on the characters that are most affected by his presence before he's even there. That was one of the things that I really wish I had a little bit more time to focus on was the designing of the set in which that whole story took place, the mine. You know, I felt that I just didn't give it enough character and so forth, you know, that's because it's, when it comes down to the, when Darth Vader enters a scene and starts to, you know, and starts to do his thing, one of the things that I love about Star Wars is that it's never in a kind of boring, dull place. You know what I mean? It's there's a certain majesty to the environment. And I didn't, you know, that's one of the things that I wish I could have gave more attention to, but even more importantly, to the characters that were there as well. You know, I really, really wanted to develop them more visually and have a better understanding of them before I finished, before I actually got into the, to the story. Because, really, the whole reason why you become afraid of Vader is because you get to know who he's about to take out. And that's really where the fear comes down, or the awe of him, is because you don't really, like, you don't, you know, one of the more interesting reactions to Dark Times, when we announced that Vader was going to focus on Dastineer, was emails saying, please don't kill Dastineer. And why me and Mick were like, hey, look, you know, people are kind of liking what we're doing a little bit, is because when we first started, it was like, why are you doing all this boring stuff? Where's Vader? We want to see Vader. He's still a kid. We're only a month or a couple months ahead of when he makes this stupid decision to join the dark side, when he loses his mind. He's still this idiot who is making huge errors. He hasn't become the guy in A New Hope. No. That's what our journey is about, is taking him from that person and into that, I've given up. I've let go. The Emperor is right. His training is complete. Mm. I am no longer human. There's still Anakin in there. He's still struggling, and that's causing his errors. He's not acting from pure hatred. There's still regret. You know, and for me, part of the reason why he's constantly going to the Emperor and saying, I want to kill Jedi, because they represent his error.
Yeah.
If he can remove the Jedi from the universe, then there's nothing left to remind him. And that's what essentially happens. Yeah. Until Obi-Wan shows back up. And then everything starts falling apart for him again. He starts doubting, you know, the situation, allowing Luke, you know. That's the way, I like to interpret it right now, but
it's a very valid interpretation.
Yeah, but the thing about Star Wars is it changes because of all the input from everybody, the EU. And
so here comes our last question.
Okay.
What are your graphic influences?
It's really simple, actually. Alex Raymond.
Yeah.
From Flash Gordon, and more appropriately, Rip Kirby. I'm like really focusing on him now because I'm trying to simplify my style a little bit. I think that it'll serve the story better. It'll serve the time frame better. Like I'm really, one of the big challenges is to have Dark Times coming out in a more stable manner. You know, because it's in the past, it's been coming out a little too late, a lot too late, And so we want to correct that. So part of that is to study one of the guys that developed a style that conveyed exactly what was necessary. Frank Frazetta, I absolutely love him. Although, like, you know, even though they are major influences, I don't try to draw like them. Like, yeah. I try to learn from them, but without becoming them. And I think the third major influence, because there's hundreds of millions of them.
Yes, indeed.
Is in terms of comic books would be Harold Foster from Prince Valiant. He's just so untouchable. It's like looking at, you know, Mars and thinking, I gotta go there someday.
The face of God.
Yeah. Well, he's just this incredible draftsman, and every single panel just gets straight to the point. It's clearly read, you know, the characterization, the story, everything, and it's just wonderful work. So I admire those three guys considerably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Thank you, Doug, for having us.
Well, it's my pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
Hope to meet you again.
Yeah, it'd be great. You know, when we have a little more time, we can get into the huge philosophies.
You have a little French sentence to say to your French fans, your readers?
Merci beaucoup.
Don't fail me again.
You have a little French sentence to say to your French fans, your readers?
Help me.
What would you like to
say? What I would like to say is that I really love France.
J'aime la France.
J'aime la France.
Excellent.
And thank you so much for coming along on the journey for Dark Times. Seb.
Merci beaucoup d'être du voyage avec moi sur la série Dark Times.
Okay, yeah.
You can say that. Merci. Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup.